Hi, everyone. Let me know if you can't hear me. So as Dr. DiMaria said, I'm going to present on using enhanced hepatitis C lab data to improve some analyses we've been doing on perinatal hep C in Philadelphia. Just a little background about perinatal hepatitis C. Vertical transmission, which is from mother to infant, is the primary route of pediatric hepatitis C infection. This occurs in about 5 to 10% of infants born to women with hepatitis C. This means they have chronic illness after about 18 months. And this rate doubles in women who are also co-infected with HIV. Now, pediatric hep C can result in liver disease, cancer, cognitive delays, and liver transplant. And all of these can occur in the first decade of life, depending on the case. We talked to one doctor in Philadelphia who was giving a liver transplant to a 7-year-old, so it can be pretty extreme. And since there are no symptoms often associated with pediatric hepatitis C, the long-term damage from hepatitis C infection can be the first indicator of any issue. And there is treatment approved for children over the age of 3. These are the old treatments. Antiviral regimens that include interferon, direct-acting antivirals that are approved in adults currently and are a lot more tolerable, interferon-free, and very successful, so they have cure rates over 90% in a lot of cases. They're not yet approved in children, but they are in clinical trials currently. So hopefully, cross our fingers, this will be available for children as well. Some information about maternal screening. ACOG and the CDC recommend that pregnant women with risk factors, so injection drug use, tattoos, risky sexual behaviors, these women are recommended to be screened during their prenatal care for hepatitis C. And important to note, too, is that 50 to 75% of people with hepatitis C in the United States are said to likely be unaware of their infection, so screening is a really important part of identifying people with hep C. And also important is that women of childbearing age with hepatitis C, this group is likely increasing. So copying off of Massachusetts' hard work, we wanted to show here all the reported cases at their age of testing in Philadelphia. So at first you see this baby boomer age range. It's a unimodal distribution. They're the dominating age group in Philadelphia, but by the time you get to 2013, it's bimodal. You see these youth cases also growing in their prevalence. And this age group, 20 to 30, they are of childbearing age, and these are women, or these include women who may be having children now or in the next decade or so. So the population who could be transmitting hep C to their children is likely growing. And since infants show no risk factor or symptoms, when they have pediatric hep C, it's really important to screen all children for hep C. And as we mentioned, early treatment is available and may prevent the long-term damage. So the AASLD has a guideline to test all infants born to women with hepatitis C. And this testing can be antibody tested after 18 months of age. This is because maternal antibodies can interrupt and create a false positive in infants until 18 months. Or RNA testing for hepatitis C can also be done after 8 weeks of age, but it should be repeated because RNA levels can vary within the first year of life. So our study goals were to estimate the number of women with hepatitis C who are giving birth in Philadelphia and to measure the proportion of their infants that were then being tested for hep C. And we've been working on this analysis and we wanted to improve upon it by incorporating additional data from both within the health department and outside of the health department. So our methods were to use person-level data and match data sets by name, date of birth, and address. And we hope to identify 5 groups this way. We wanted to identify mothers who had hep C and were had given birth, identify their infants who had been tested, and of those infants who was hep C positive. And as a result, also, we would identify the untested infants, and we wanted to create an estimate for the number of unidentified Hep C positive infants as well. And we did all of these analyses using SAS. Our primary analysis used only birth records that are electronic in Philadelphia. We used births in 2011 to 2013, but we limited it to children who are over 18 months of age because we wanted to make sure that all children had time to be screened. And we matched this with our hepatitis C registry in Philadelphia. When we did our additional matches, we wanted to incorporate the immunization registry in Philadelphia that includes vaccination information for children and adults in Philadelphia. We also used negative RNA data. We made this reportable to the health department in July of last year, and we worked with the commercial labs to get back data to 2012. We also worked with the major pediatric facilities in Philadelphia to get any testing that was done in-house that may not have been reported, particularly the negative antibodies and RNAs that may have been performed in the facility. And we've also been working with commercial labs to obtain negative antibody testing, and we received it for 2012 onward. So some of our results. Our preliminary match showed about 60,000 birth records for this study period, and about 5,000 women of childbearing age, so 12 to 47, and they all had a positive marker for hepatitis C. And when we matched these, we got 806 births to women with hepatitis C. And the second part of the match is to match to the infants in the hepatitis C registry. And we found that 20 infants of the 806 were tested for hepatitis C. These are positives and negatives. This is only 2.2% of all of the births to hepatitis C positive women. So when we wanted to do our enhanced analysis, we brought in the negative RNA data with the maternal match. We dropped out about 300 women who had a negative RNA at the time of birth. And this dropped the 806 births to Hep C positive women to 651 births to Hep C positive women. And we knew all of these women had a positive marker and no negative RNA. This was 1.1% of all of the births all of the births in the city, Hep C positive or not. The national estimate is 1% of births are two Hep C positive women. When we did the second part of the match with infants, we brought in the negative RNA data, all of the infant testing data from hospitals, and the negative antibody data, and we found 98 infants had been tested for hepatitis C. And we also wanted to bring in that immunization registry, and we used it to identify infants who had died, who had moved outside of Philadelphia, or who were adopted. And we used that to improve the number of infants we would expect to be reported to the city or to be screened. So this brought our number of births to 605 births to women who had hepatitis C. And when we matched with infants, we found 90 infants of these 605 women tested positive, or were tested, excuse me, for hepatitis C at all. So this was 15%. This is our improved match. This is with enhanced data, and it's still only 15%. It's not great. Some maternal characteristics we pulled from birth certificate data included the ones you see here, and we compared various groups. So Hep C positive mothers, as compared to all births in the city, had a higher proportion of women on public insurance who were educated at the highest level was high school or less. Fewer of them were married, and fewer of them were of black race. These were all significant. And when comparing the mothers of tested infants to the mothers of untested infants, we found a higher proportion of the tested infants were actually on public insurance or had the highest level of their education being high school or less, and fewer were married and fewer were of black race. And when this part was not on the birth certificates, but when we looked at prenatal testing that was in our data, about half of the women who we knew to be Hep C positive were actually screened during their gestational period. This differed between the tested infants, or the mothers of the tested infants, and the mothers of the untested infants significantly, but was still only about 70% in the mothers of the tested infants. And there is a notation on birth certificates for hepatitis C positivity in mothers. It was only 45% yes equals yes on for women we knew to be hepatitis C positive. So big discrepancy again. And when we tried to estimate the unidentified infants who may be hepatitis C positive, we used that 5% transmission rate with our 605 final estimate for Hep C positive mothers. And that said we would probably find 30 Hep C positive infants out of this group. We only found 4. So there's 26 infants who were not identified in our data and may have been untested to this date. So some conclusions and discussion. Our analytic improvements within the health department with hospitals in the area and with commercial labs all definitely led to more accurate identification of Hep C positive women in Philadelphia and then the identification of the testing of their children. And this allowed us to find that vertical transmission is of hepatitis C is most definitely occurring in Philadelphia, but only 15% of the infants born to Hep C positive women in this time period were tested. This leaves 26 infants that were undiagnosed for chronic hepatitis C illness in Philadelphia. And 54% of women with Hep C were screened during their pregnancy, so this could be something that we need to look at. Some limitations of the study and some questions that still remain. We definitely had infants in our registry that did not match with a mother who was Hep C positive. We didn't know about the mother and her Hep C positivity, so this indicates that there may be testing that is still missing, even though we enhanced our data sets. And we have no idea where this would be coming from. We also did not know HIV status for any of these women. HIV status increases the transmission rate of hepatitis C, and we're not sure what the burden is of this group, so definitely a limitation. We don't know if the 4 infants we found or the ones we didn't find were referred to a specialist for their Hep C care. And we don't know, this next one should be a question. We don't know where the issue for all of this lies. We don't know if mothers are simply uneducated on the risk of Hep C and they're not communicating their status to doctors. We don't know if the pediatrician isn't getting the information from the obstetrician or the birthing institute. Where is this gap? There is clearly one if 15% of infants are being tested. So with all these questions, there are definitely next steps that need to happen, but we don't know which one is the best. It may be a combination. Provider education is most certainly one. We need providers to be able to recognize risk factors in mothers, the risk that is present for infants born to women with hepatitis C, and what the testing guidelines are for both. We did see some screening in infants that was incomplete and did not follow the guidelines. Maybe a regulation change is called for. Screening during prenatal care for all women is done for hepatitis B. Maybe it's appropriate for hepatitis C, but this may not be cost effective. But it may open conversations between obstetricians and women during prenatal care and alert pediatricians that they need to be aware of knowing mom's hepatitis C status as well. Maybe reporting of all pregnant women with hepatitis C should be mandated within all jurisdictions, some jurisdictions, just Philadelphia. We don't know if this will fix the infant testing gap though, so communication is important, but we also need to take action. And maybe that action should be a comparable program to the perinatal hepatitis B program that exists in many jurisdictions, where we would follow up with all women we knew to have a child and be hepatitis C positive, to work with mother to ensure that the infant is then tested. So thank you to Kendra Viner and Claire Newburn and Carol Johnson in the health department, and to Evan Kirkley, who created these 2 beautiful posters that we made after doing this analysis that we have made available to providers in Philadelphia to hang in their waiting rooms to open the dialogue between mothers and pediatricians and obstetricians. So thank you.
Okay. way shorter than that. I'm so excited to see this presentation because we've recently been talking about kind of doing a very similar analysis, and this gives us a lot to think about in terms of additional data sources. You know, we've been talking about matching with our birth registry and our hepatitis C cases, but haven't really thought about some of the other data sources you've talked about. I wondered if you could comment about some of the challenges in gaining access to those data sources and kind of how that process went for you all.
Yeah. Welcome to surveillance.
Right.
You know, we in Philadelphia, we are one of the surveillance sites with the CDC right now, and the entire time we've been working has been working with hospitals, working with providers, working with the commercial labs, and trying to, in any way possible, accommodate them and gain access to their data. And, you know, with the pediatric facilities, I don't know how it worked out. It was over four facilities that are major providers, and they were all, it was like the next day I got the data, and I had no idea how that happened. It was just beautiful luck. Maybe I mentioned infants, and that was, you know, a big help. We've never been heavy-handed, and I don't know if that has made a difference in really helping us get the data. We've never thrown down the law or the regulation until they say, well, HIPAA. And the commercial labs, you know, it's more of a push and pull with them. And it's usually, it's a more time-intensive process, but I don't know. We've definitely just opened up dialogue and kept it very casual, and I don't know if that's why, but I mean that's how we that's really helped us. And the birth certificates come from the state, and we get those weekly anyway. And the immunization registry, we're lucky we work in the same division as them, so we have a good relationship with them to begin with. So.
And then one other question: do you think that maybe pediatricians are waiting until these
It's possible. Honestly, a lot of these infants were tested. The ones that were tested before 12 months of age, so at least their first time. There's a lot of talk out that I think the reason the RNA is done so much is because parents can't wait. They know they have Hep C, and if they do know that and the pediatrician knows that, nobody can wait. They're just anxious about it. It's possible. It's certainly possible. We have more questions than answers right now, and we're, you know, trying to figure out ways to answer those questions too. I think it's everything. I think every gap that you can think of is contributing somehow.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We hadn't thought of formalizing anything. What we used was they had to have received the RNA after 12 months. If they had a positive, they needed to receive it after 12 months as well. There are a proportion that clear before 2 years, but it's my understanding was it was rather low.
Yeah. So RNA prior to 12 months, you're not considering that to be...
Not exhaustive. It was definitely... There were a few that were partial in there, but... We also saw RNA positives at 8 weeks that then were RNA negative before that, before the 12-year mark, too.
My second question was regarding outreach. It seems from your data that there were hundreds of kids born who were not tested. And I was wondering if you had piloted doing outreach to those docs, specifically naming that child and recommending that that child be tested, or asking whether or not that child had already been tested, just to get at some of the barriers.
Yeah, we just began working on something to that effect, where we began contacting women we knew to be RNA positive, so we wanted to be as strict as possible. We have contacted, I don't know what the N is at this point, but we have contacted a variety of mothers, and we've seen that there's a slew of reasons why they weren't tested.
And what about outreach to the pediatrician?
We have not done the provider end of it yet. That was a next step for sure. Yeah. The posters, which we just sent out through our immunizations unit to all of the VFAR sites, I think, in Philadelphia. So the Vaccines for Children sites.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, I'm Kim von Lind from Florida Department of Health, and I have a question. When you did the matching, I saw that you were using name, date of birth, and address, and I was wondering how much effect there was from using the address, for example, people moving and all that kind of things. Was that kind of improving your matching, or was it actually reducing the number of matches that you found?
We didn't use, yeah, I know what you mean.
This is kind of a good question.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. So we primarily use name and date of birth, and address was more a bonus component. Because we were matching to the vaccine registry too, we had even more identifying information that way. So Hep C patients move. Anybody who works with Hep C knows these patients are very transient, or a lot of them are. So address was. Everything was manually reviewed before it was included too. So, and there was, negotiations.
I'm Luisa Scobrego with the New Mexico Department of Health, and I'm thinking of the next steps. In the first place, it appears that there's a lot of lack of guidance for obstetricians on when and how to test or fancy on pregnant babies. So therefore, it would seem that the time is right for some new study to investigate the risk factors for who should be tested for Hep C. Perhaps a longitudinal study to also understand the transmission, particular transmissions. That might have been done already, so that information is available to guide both the obstetricians and pediatricians. Moving forward with what appears to be a very important problem.
So in terms of transmission rate, there have been a number of studies, but there's definitely a range that's given. These studies all look at different populations, so 5 to 10% is typically the range that Hep C positive, HIV negative women do fall into. I agree, more studies are needed. In terms of risk factors, it is hard. Injection drug use and tattoos and other risk factors are, most definitely appropriately identified as some reason to test a pregnant woman for Hep C. It's hard, though. I mean, if somebody injected once with a dirty needle 15 years ago, that conversation may not come up when they're in their obstetrician or, they're talking to their doctor about all the millions of things that they're talking about during prenatal care, and they're not a current drug user, so it might never come up. I don't know the answer to that. The wide guidelines, making it mandated for everyone may be the answer. In Philadelphia, where we have, a high rate of Hep C, maybe that does make sense, but in other areas where there's not much, it may not. So I agree. More studies. Let's add it to the list of studies that need to be done.
Or any other states have done that, or if you had any thoughts on using that limitation before we have negative report.
Yeah, I mean, anything you have is, you know, we don't have access to those data sources, and so I can't speak specifically to them, but, you know, wherever you can get it, the problem, a lot of these women weren't tested necessarily, I mean, 54% were tested during their prenatal care, so it'd be great to have access to any of that information, you know, the prenatal documents, but it might not, it's probably only a needle in the haystack or only a, you know, a proportion of them. A lot of these women were diagnosed before even they were pregnant. So where do you look? Is it all claims data? Is it all chart review? It's tough. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.